Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 465, The Prayer of Faith. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, March 29th, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made, amen?
Amen.
So a lot of times we do stuff in church and we never explain why we do them, so... every week we talk about money in church, and sometimes people think all they want is my money. But just to explain, when we first came here to Fort Wayne, the Lord spoke to me and said, I don't want you ever to not talk about money in church, because people really need money. They need money every day. They need money every week. They need my blessing in their lives. So I want you to teach them every week. I want you to spend some time sharing with them principles from the Word of God that will help them, that will bless them, and show them that what my plan is for them. So that's why we talk about money. Now, I know other churches do it other ways, and you know, I have no problem with that. It's you should do whatever God tells you to do. If he says, you know, put a bucket in the back, or put a, you know, some, do it some other way, I'm okay with that, because I'm not responsible for somebody else's church, but I am responsible for this group here. So that's why we do that. The second part about, we talk about discipleship a lot here, and over the years we've lost thousands of people over discipleship. You know, we started out in the Holiday Inn Holodome in 1995. And we had more people in our first service than we've got in this room here. It was a miracle, because we didn't know anybody. It was our first service. We were new to town. And we'd send out a mailing, and we didn't know if anybody would show up. And when I first stood up to welcome the congregation, there was my family and two other people. When my kids came to do the worship time, and we finished with the worship, and I got up to receive the offering, there were over 65 people there. It was a miracle from God, because, you know, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know if anybody would receive us in this city. This is Pastor Karen's city. It's not my city. So if you want to blame somebody for why we're here, you can blame her, I guess. But anyway, we moved then from the Holodome to the Quimby Village Theater, now the Clyde, back to the Clyde Theater. And there we grew, and grew quite a bit, actually. And we never did grow into the second theater. Those days they had it divided into two. It's not like one big theater like it is now, a beautiful thing that Brother Chuck did with the theater there, and made it into one beautiful place. With several millions of dollars help. But when we moved from there, we lost a lot of people. We went to the Canterbury schools, and then from the Canterbury schools, we came to here. But a lot of the loss was over the subject of disciples and making disciples, because over the years we were on a quest to, God, how do you want us to make disciples like Jesus wants to make disciples? And, you know, maybe it was lack of sharing vision. Maybe it was, I'm not trying to blame people, because the buck stops here. Maybe we didn't explain it clearly. Maybe people didn't understand it well. I don't know. But we lost a lot of people on the way over. But God was always faithful, and He never let us down. And we never had to beg for money. We never had to beg for anything. We never had to be disappointed and disillusioned because God didn't do what He said He would do when we came here. Our pastor sent us here to open a house of deliverance. I don't know if we've done that so well, but we're working at it, praise the Lord. And we're believing God to raise up men and women who are built up in the things of God and who are equipped for the work of the ministry. Which brings me to the last part of that point is, the reason that we're here really is to equip people for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is not what you see here on Sunday. The work of the ministry is what you do out there in your job where you work, where you play, where you go to the restaurant, where you go to the store. That's where the work of the ministry is, because that's where the people are. If you read the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus just went where there were people. And where people were, there was always a need for ministry. And when his disciples were equipped for that ministry, they had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful results, because people got healed, people got set free from demon power, people got raised from the dead, and people got the gospel preached to them. Those that were hurting were blessed and touched by the power of God. So that's really what making disciples and making disciple makers is all about, really. It's about equipping you to be what God has called you to be in the place where he has called you to be. You might not feel like you're called to the place where you are, and maybe God has some other things for you, maybe he has some other places for you in terms of where he wants to place you. But when you get to that place, he wants you to be well ready to minister to people, minister into their lives, speak into their lives, raise them up in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to just represent him well. I mean, that's basically, the Bible says we should be ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors for him. That means we should represent him with all the dignity that he deserves. We should be a clear channel for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to flow through us and to really touch the lives of people. So our desire is not to be a big deal in this city. If we're never a big deal, it's okay. It doesn't matter. What does matter, though, is if Jesus is a big deal in people's lives in this city. So this city is overtaken by a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of witchcraft. There's a lot of occult practices. There's a lot of worldliness. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of hurt. There's way too much crime and murder and hurt in people's lives. And Jesus really, really, really needs you. He really needs you to make a difference in this city. Because if you don't make a difference, who's going to make the difference? We can't just say, well, those people at that other church, it's their responsibility. No, it's our responsibility. So if you're wanting to know what to do in the ministry, the best thing I can say to you is that you need to seek God. You need to open your heart to him. You need to be willing to repent for everything that's wrong in your life and just to go with him. Nobody's perfect. We're not perfect. We've never been perfect. The only thing is that we can reach for perfection, because Jesus is perfection and we're reaching for him all of the time. And with his power, with his presence, and with his love, we can make a difference in people's lives. We can make a distinction, as the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. So I hope that you're up to that. I hope that you're inspired by that, because you have a big job to do. And whether you like it or not, you're in the army now, so you don't get a choice. This is boot camp. Sometime over the years, people said, your church is just too tough. It's like a boot camp. Well, we didn't really design it to be that way. We want to be nice to people. We want to love people. We want to help people. We want to be a blessing to people. But, sometimes tough love is better, because that's what we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we hope that Jesus has grace on us, and that grace gets on the lives of other people, because without his grace and without his mercy, none of us would be worth anything anywhere, because it's all about him. Amen. Amen. And thankfully, he came to this world because God loved the world of people, that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So if we can get a hold of that heart, that part of the heart of God, we will be propelled into a world of ministry that will never quit. So it's not about having a place up here at the pulpit. It's not having some kind of a platform. Your platform is the place where God has put you, or where you find yourself. And you can use that as your pulpit to preach the gospel anywhere, any day, every place that you are. If you will just open your heart to him and look around and see people, see the people that he loves. And sometimes they're not such lovely people. Sometimes people are really, really hard to love. But he must have thought we were up to it because he placed us here. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if somebody's rubbing you the wrong way, just forgive them and love them and bless them with the word of God. Don't bless them out. Bless them with the word of God. Give them Jesus. Give them all the Jesus in your heart, and it'll come out right. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I didn't intend to say any of that, really. But since Sister Tanya got on the covenant thing, you know, I think that was probably what kind of kicked that in gear. Because a lot of times we don't really explain what we do or why we do them. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people, they sit in church for like 30 years and they still haven't figured out what the vision of the church is. And, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But sometimes we who have the responsibility to bring vision don't do so well in imparting the vision. But then sometimes people's hearts are just closed to the vision too. So, but that's another issue, and that's not my problem. That's their problem. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'll explain one other thing we do. So in this church, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that he was sent by Jesus to fill our lives. And the Bible says in the Ephesians that we should be being filled or be continually filled with the Spirit, singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So we did some of that this morning. But, you know, a lot of times when you come into a worship service, you can just sit there and you can just, you can be there, but you're not there. You know, you're there, but you're checked out somewhere else. And your heart just isn't in the worship. And, you know, maybe you don't like those songs that we use anyway. Maybe they're not the good old songs of the church. You know, some of those are really, really great worship songs, and we probably should do more of those because they're good and they're the word. And then there are some songs that they just aren't even the word. They're not even close to the word. They're just like these kids out there singing something, you know, that they're trying. So give them credit for trying. But it isn't getting it. It isn't hitting it. There's no anointing on it, and there's no word in it, and there's no blessing in it. And I get that. But when you come to the house of the Lord, you have to lay down all of that stuff. Open your heart and begin to worship God. And if you don't know how to do that, come to Rivka's prayer workshop and she'll make you sing and open your heart to be intentional about your worship. But anyway, where was I going with that? I was going with that because if you can't worship God at home, you're probably not going to worship God when you come together in the church either. So we all need to work on that, because when we get to heaven, if you don't like worship, you're not going to like it there. Singing holy, 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 you know, for the rest of eternity, it's just not going to be your thing, you know. It's like my pastor used to say, heaven has the doors on heaven. They have knobs on both sides. If you don't like it there, you can leave, and Jesus won't make you stay. If you don't like noise, you probably won't like heaven either, because the Bible says that it's a noisy place. So if you just like, you know, you're meek and quiet, church service, it's not going to be up there in heaven. So we should get ready for that down here on earth. Probably we should shout a lot more than we do, but some of us just don't have that kind of stuff inside of us, you know, that kind of emotion that wants to stand up with Rivka and shout. But we should probably do better. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we do believe in the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit brings. And we want to see all of those gifts, all of those nine gifts manifested, and all the other gifts in Romans that it talks about, the other ministry kind of gifts. We want to see those manifested in the body too, because as the body, you know, individually we don't have all of those, but collectively we can have all of those. As a body we can have all of those manifesting. And how great would it be to see all of those things working together to bring blessing into the lives of people? Amen? So we want that to happen. We desire that to happen. But a lot of times we don't make room for it to happen because, you know, we have our agenda. And we understand that. And we understand you don't want to stay here more than 3 or 4 hours. So, because lunch is coming, you know, and I'm hungry. But somehow, some way, you just have to make space for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. Amen. Because if you don't make a place for him, why should he come and do anything? Amen. If you don't make a place for him to heal people, why should he come and bring the healing presence of Jesus into your life? You know, sometimes you can walk into a place and you can just feel, you can sense the healing presence of Jesus is there. In fact, when you start talking about the healing presence of Jesus, that healing presence come in. It's in here right now. It just came in. It just came in like it didn't come through the door. It just entered this room. So if you're here and you're not feeling well or you need some form of healing in your body, you can just reach out and receive it right now. His healing presence is here. It's here really, really strong right now. It's really, really, really strong, and it's growing right now in this place. So just reach and receive right now. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Receive the holy presence of God manifesting itself inside of your body. That long-standing thing that's been plaguing you and you've been fighting, in the name of Jesus, I command you to loose hold of this person. Stop, cease, desist your maneuvers against her now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, for manifesting yourself inside and for healing rising. I see it like it's rising. It's like coming in from your feet and it's rising to through your body to the rest of you. It's touching you, and it's even touching areas of your mental, your emotional makeup, hurts that happened to you years ago, things that happened to you in bad marriages. In the name of Jesus, they're being eradicated right now by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. Atrocities that happened to you when you were a teenager, they're being healed right now in the name of Jesus. There's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit that's rising up right now to touch you, to set you free in the name of Jesus. Mental and emotional stress that's been on top of you, that's been weighing you down, is lifting off of you right now in the name of Jesus. The mighty power of the Holy Spirit is touching your life right now. Broken relationships are being mended right now. Relationships in your family, Shukub, are being restored right now. Things that were impossible before just became possible because the Holy Spirit just came into this place and he's touching your life, he's touching your heart, he's touching your family, he's touching their hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The mighty presence of the Holy Spirit is here. He's telling me to remind you that the weapons of your warfare, they're not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God to demolish strongholds. So deploy the weapons this morning. Release those weapons, those mighty weapons, to destroy strongholds, things that have held you in bondage for all of your life, maybe. Destroyed now by the blood of Jesus. Things that you've had to struggle with since you were a child or since you were a teenager. Broken off of you now in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Jesus. The mighty gifts of the Spirit are being released right now. Some of you are receiving a new and fresh anointing from heaven. A refreshing of the calling that's on your life. It's coming right now because He is here. He's speaking into your life. He's speaking into your lives in Shakabro Masta in a special way. Shakobri Masta Kamahata. Rebekista Kindo Makoro Machikumara Mahala Maha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing up in a special way on this Sunday that we call Palm Sunday. When you march triumphantly into Jerusalem, Shukobrikista Kamateta Maha, celebrating that Shukobrikista Kamakista, recognizing that memorial, Lord, Shukobrikista Kamesteta Moshanta Maha. Thank you. Thank you for the victory that you brought when you went to the cross, where you spoiled the principalities and powers, where you made a public spectacle of them, where you triumphed over them in it. Thank you, Father, that those demon spirits will never rule in our lives again. They're destroyed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you were lifted up for our transgressions, but you were raised up for our justification. Thank you for forgiveness and for release from sin and from its darkness and from its clutches now in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, for mighty transformation to continue to progress in our lives, Father, till the last day, Father, so that we can hold fast until the end, Father, that which you have given us through the cross and through the blood of Jesus and through his resurrection, which we will celebrate in a week or so. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, for special ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning. Paul, your leg is being healed right now. Receive now. Receive the rest of your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you who have been standing for our healing, contending for our healing, contending to receive your healing, thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you're manifesting it in this place today. New, fresh anointing, Lord. Somebody's receiving direction. Direction, 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 and counsel from the Holy Spirit right now. You know he's spoken to you. You know what you're supposed to do. You've just resisted doing what he's told you to do, but just go ahead and do it now. He's encouraging you that he knows the best for you. So, So don't give him any more pushback. Just submit yourself to God. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for manifesting yourself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards you. It's perfect because of your precious blood. It's perfect because of what you did at the cross of Calvary. It's perfect because of your grace, which is sufficient for us, your power that's made perfect where we're weak. Thank you, Jesus. So what I was about to talk about when I was started that was that we have a prayer language. The prayer language comes from the Holy Spirit, and in this church we believe in using the prayer language. So let's just use it right now. Your prayer language from God, just begin to pray. Ribadi de kodi de meche ke bro mache ke bakiri de sana na masa de ke te dana maha. Ribadi de kashe ke masi ke de dana maha saka da 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 maha. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit. Shakubri ke te de de da baha. Shakabrio se ke le de de da koche kambra makata da la 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 bakacha kambra maha. For revealing truth, for reminding us of the things that Jesus spoke, for inspiring and directing, for being our advocate and our counselor, for being our constant friend, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, thank you, Father, for the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, filling each of these lives, filling their homes, fill their homes with your presence, Lord, with the mighty presence of your Holy Spirit. Drive out everything that's dark and wrong, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Everything that's tainted by worldliness and sin, Lord, replace it with your holy presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We speak grace to the mountain in the name of Jesus. You mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea now. Every circumstance sent by the devil to kill, steal, or destroy, into the sea now in the name of Jesus. Every power of darkness destroyed by the power of the blood of Jesus in these lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. For I've said in my word, call upon me in a day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. So look to me today. Look to me for your wisdom. Look to me for your guidance. Look to me for your direction. Look to me for your peace and joy. Do not rely on the things of the world. Don't rely on the things of the flesh. For the flesh profits you nothing, but my spirit will bring great reward and great profit into your life. So look to me, says the Lord, and I will sustain you. I will lift you up. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you, and I will set you on the right path. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Come. Thank you, God, for divine interruptions.
This is verse Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 25. Everyone then who hears this word of mine and does them well, be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it has been founded on the rock.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wisdom from Jesus. Wisdom from heaven. Amen. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would use this message to touch hearts and lives, Father, that you would prepare people to do mighty things for your kingdom, Father, in Jesus' name. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you make it clear, make it plain, and make it helpful to each that are here, each that are listening, those that are listening on the podcast or watching on social media, Father. I ask you, Father, to use this message to be a blessing and to be an uplift, and to be an encouragement to them in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So I want to talk to you today about the prayer of faith. So today is Palm Sunday, as known on the Christian calendar as Palm Sunday. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, starting in the Old Testament, you see that God gave the children of Israel memorials, various festivals and memorials, so that they wouldn't forget God and so that they could pass these things on to their children and their children's children, and they would always remember what he did in their lives. So that tradition has been carried on into the Christian faith, because our roots really are in Judaism. Our roots are in the nation of Israel and God's people, Israel. The sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we've carried on those traditions into the church. Now, some of them have gone awry because, you know, the church over the years has sometimes transformed into some things that it shouldn't have, and so forth and so on. So we're not here to argue any of that or dispute anybody's testimony about it, whatever. But nonetheless, Palm Sunday is the Sunday where they recognize the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem before the Passover, before his crucifixion, and then finally before his resurrection. All four Gospels mention this event, which is interesting because sometimes, you know, you find some things about Jesus and they're only in one or two of the Gospels, but all four mention this event of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. The people welcome Jesus by waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna, or Hoshiana is the Hebrew word, a term meaning save us, indicating their recognition of him as the Messiah. So the Hebrew word for Hosanna is Hoshiana, which translates to save, please. It's a plea for help and deliverance. It's originally found in Psalm 118, verse 25, which says, "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." So on that day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a borrowed donkey, one that had never been ridden before, that was the tradition of bringing a king to take his place on the throne when he was installed as the king of Judah or the king of Israel in those days. And so this is like symbolic of that Jesus, the King of Kings, would come into Israel. And it's also prophetic that the Messiah would come. It was prophesied by the prophets of old that the Messiah would come in this way. And the disciples, you know, they spread their cloaks on the donkey, and some translations say they put it on the ground before him as he was going in for Jesus to sit on. And then the multitudes, they came to welcome him. And they were laying their cloaks in the branches of the palm trees in front of him. They hailed him and they praised him as the king who comes in the name of the Lord, also, which is from the Old Testament. As he rode to the temple where he taught the people, he healed them, and he drove out the money changers and the merchants who made his father's house a den of robbers or a den of thieves, as it says in Mark 11:17. So all of these accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are eyewitness accounts, which is important for us because, the word says out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so these accounts are corroborated with each other. Matthew 21:14 records, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them, which is an amazing fulfillment of prophecy in the Old Testament. You remember when the disciples of John came to Jesus and asked, they said, John's in prison and he wants to know if you're really the Messiah. Are you the one that was promised? Are you the one that he was prophesying over? You know, this is kind of, it seems strange to us because John was the one who baptized Jesus and he saw the Holy Spirit come on Jesus in the form of a dove and, prophesied to his disciples, that he should decrease and that Jesus should increase and even allowed his disciples to follow after Jesus, which is amazing for a preacher. You know, we want to hang on to everybody. You don't want anybody to go anywhere or do anything else, stay here. But John said, it's not about me, it's about him. So go follow him. And disciples, some of John's disciples did that. They followed Jesus. But anyway, when they came to him and asked Jesus if he's the one, what did Jesus tell them? He said, go tell John what you see today. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. All of these people are being healed. Go tell him that. Why did he say that? Because that's what was prophesied would happen when the Messiah would come. That was one of the signs. That was one of the signs that the prophets said about the Messiah who was coming. So what's interesting about this day that we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus rode into Jerusalem, is that he rode right up to the temple. And in the temple, the religious people were reciting psalms and worshiping God and praying for the Messiah to come. And he was riding right by there. And they didn't recognize him, which says something to you about humanity. You know, we easily can miss the time of our visitation. So it's really important for us to be cognizant, to be understanding of the times that we live in, because, Jesus said to his disciples, you recognize, when the weather is turning, whether the sky is red, you say, this is happening and so forth and so on. But you don't even recognize the sign of the times that you're in. And that truth has lasted for ages ever since people have been like that. A lot of times people have missed the time of their visitation. Our pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall, used to say, God's people are never ready for anything that God wants to do. I think that was maybe an overstatement a little bit, but it was recognition of human frailty that what he was talking about is all the prophecies that had been made about South Bend having a great revival. And sometimes he would stand in front of the people and he'd say, God wants to do revival here, but you people are not worthy of it because you won't get out of your sin. And he just preached really strong and we were all crawling under the pews and hiding. He must be talking to me. And God wants to do a lot more things than probably people are ready to receive and ready to do, which means that he needs to do some stuff with our hearts, or we need to yield our hearts to him for him to do what he needs to do so that he can do what he wants to do, so that he can do all those great things that have been prophesied. There's been many prophecies over Fort Wayne. I've heard a few since we've been here. I'm not a native Fort Wayner, but some of the old timers have said that God, that there have been prophecies of mighty revivals happening to Fort Wayne here, that there's a move of God's, you know, that would be unequaled in many places that would happen here in this city, and that this city was a city of innovation, and we know that that's true about some inventions and things like that that have happened here, that the blessing of God is here. So one of the things that we observed when we came to this city from having lived in South Bend is that when there's a line when you cross from somewhere, it's pretty close to Warsaw, you can feel the difference when you come from that area into this area. There's a different kind of a spirit here. But then when we got to Fort Wayne, we found out that there's a lot of really, really nice people in Fort Wayne. You know, they're lovely people. But many of them are just clueless when it comes to the things of God, just not really plugged into the things of God or living for the things of God. Nice people, good people, you know, but goodness doesn't get you to heaven. Believing in Jesus, having faith in Jesus is what gets you to heaven. By grace you're saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not from works. So it's not good enough just to be good. Amen. And nobody is good but God, the word says. And if we're relying on our good works, we're not going to make it. We just can't make it. There's no way to make it. It's only the grace of God. So anyway, all of these accounts that happen, that record about the blind being healed and the lame coming to him in the temple and his healing power, all of those were prophetic events that were being fulfilled that should have been the sign for the religious leaders that the Messiah has arrived. And then just in a few days, they killed him. Wow. I mean, we understand it was God's plan. They didn't really kill him. The Bible says he gave his life for them. The Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. Jesus freely and willingly laid down his life. That's what he said. I lay down my life for my friends. And then he encouraged us to be like him. Anybody volunteering today? So praise the Lord. So in the middle of all of this, it brings us to the subject I want to talk to you about today, is the prayer of faith. Because as Jesus is, you know, he came into Jerusalem, the Bible says that he went to the temple, and on his way to the temple he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree, and the fig tree had leaves, but it didn't have any fruit. And Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Some scriptures say he cursed the fig tree and said, no fruit be born on you ever again. I guess he was mad at the tree. You know, sometimes now we talk to the trees and we talk to stuff, and people think, you know, you're just a little bit loony because you're talking to stuff. But Jesus talked to things. And his disciples heard, the Bible says his disciples heard him. They heard what he said. They didn't figure it out. They heard what he said. So that night when they came out, they saw that the tree had withered up from the roots. And they're saying, Jesus, the tree that you cursed, it's already dying. You can see it's dying from the roots. That's pretty fast. They were amazed. So this is how Jesus answered them in verse 22 of Mark 11. He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Or some translations would be maybe more correct by saying, have the faith of God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now that's a great scripture, right? Amen. Do you believe that you can have what you say? A couple of you believe that, I guess. Sometimes we're having a lot of rotten stuff that we say, amen? If flu comes along, I'll be the first to get it. And sure enough, happens. Then verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And so here we see the origin of the prayer of faith. And we're going to be talking about the prayer of faith. This message kind of sparked in me because the other night when we were at Healing Masterclass, we were talking about the prayer of faith and how the prayer of faith works. And this just stuck out to me, some things about the prayer of faith. So that's why I'm preaching this message today. So Jesus is the origin of the prayer of faith. The disciples didn't make it up. The apostles didn't make it up. James didn't make it up. Or Santiago, if you're Spanish, didn't make it up. But it's recorded in the book of James that the prayer of faith will save the sick, right? But here's the origin. And the origin happened when Jesus was really close to his death. So it was at the end of his ministry here on earth, his earthly ministry. And it was just before his death and his resurrection from the grave that that he said these things to his disciples. So you could maybe rightly conclude, you know, if you're going to leave this earth and you want to leave some instruction for your kids, you know, you don't want to be talking about the weather, right? Whether it's going to rain next week or, you know, whatever. You want to be talking about some important stuff, right? So you might rightly conclude that these things that Jesus are sharing are really key and central to what the disciples would need when they're going forward without him. Because he knows that he's not going to be there, and he's already told them he's not going to be there for them. He told them that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to remind them of all the things that he said, but he's not going to be there. But he did say, you can use my name. It's a blank check. You can use my name. And this thing called the prayer of faith is how you use my name. It's how you sign my name to the check, so to speak. You know, when you go to the bank, you can withdraw funds if there's some funds there by signing your name to the check, right? That's how you transact business. And Jesus said you can transact business by having faith of God, the faith of God, the God kind of faith. You can transact business because he said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So according to Jesus, the transaction of faith is comes from your heart, but out of your mouth to make something happen, right? So he says, you should say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into sea. It does not doubt in his heart. Now, it didn't say didn't doubt in his mind. And this is a place where people get tripped up a lot, so they can't figure out whether they really believe or don't really believe. Am I believing or am I not believing? Sometimes people have asked me that. I don't know if I'm believing or not. I don't know if I'm agreeing with you or not. You don't know. You should be able to know whether you agree with me or not, right? you should be a decisive enough person that you can either agree or not agree. But if you're not agreeing with me when I'm praying with you, just tell me and I'll stop, right? Because if you're not in agreement with my prayer, there's no point in me praying. Amen? Because you're going to get nada, nothing. So Jesus said, doubt does not doubt in his heart. So you can have doubts in your mind, but faith in your heart, and your prayer will still work. But if you have faith in your mind and doubts in your heart, your prayer was just canceled. Because Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, and the implication there is believes in his heart, that those things which he says will be done or will come to pass. Some translation says he will have whatever he says. So you can believe in your heart all day long and never say it and not get it because you're afraid to say it. Because you're not going to have what you say if you don't say it. Amen? So if you have a conviction in your heart that's strong enough that you believe in your heart, you can be free to say it and see that mountain be cast into the sea. That's what the prayer of faith is about. That's what Jesus is talking about when he's talking to his disciples and giving them this last instruction before he goes to be with his Father. And then he adds the prayer element. So the first part of this is saying something, making a declaration, making a faith declaration. The second part is praying something. Praying is normally, you normally think about prayer as being more of a petition. You're asking for something. So he's giving you prayer of faith rules that cover both your declaring and your petitioning something from God. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So when do you need to believe? When?
When you pray.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Not after you get it?
No.
Not after you can see it?
No.
What if you pray and you don't see it? Well, see, this is a practical question. This is supposed to be a practical message, and I hope it's helping you, but the point is that you have to believe when you pray, not after you get it. After you get it, you don't need any faith for anything, right?
Yeah.
So if you're believing for $100 and your friend comes over and gives you a $100 bill and you're still praying, God, please send me $100, you know, your friend would look at you like, are you nuts? It's those charismaniac, Christian, flaky people, just crazy, crazy people. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask. So what would that include? What? You can't agree on that either. You know, some saying anything, some say everything. Which is it? Anything and everything? So whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe. So here's a point that maybe can help you in that. If you're not sure that something is good for you and you're not sure that God wants it, you to have it, maybe it'd be a good idea not to pray for it, right? So that handsome dude that you're looking for, that beautiful lady that you're looking for, you may get that person home and you find out some things that you're sorry for the rest of your life. So before you be asking, you should be sure. That new car, or that car that you really think you wanted, that you like, you get home and it's a lemon. So Pastor Karen and I, we bought a car one time. We were just out of college, and forgotten exactly all the circumstances, but my dad was helping us to buy a new car. It was our first new car that we bought, like brand new car. Nobody had ever driven this car. So this was in the kind of 70s, like gas crisis time stuff. And about that time, they were putting all kinds of environmental things onto these cars. And it was kind of like, they didn't really design them that way. They just added this stuff. And it made nothing, it made your car not work, basically, is what it did. And we bought this brand new car, and every time we pulled up to a stop sign, that car would stop. Not because we put the brake on, just it would stop dead and the engine would shut down. We finally traded it. It was a Ford. We traded it for an Audi that was a year or two older. That was really nice. We loved that car. Anyway, the point is, before you ask for something, you should maybe be sure that it's from God. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that takes a process. You know, all of us have made mistakes like that. We could tell you probably hundreds of times we made that mistake. We shouldn't make it more than once. But find out from God and then pray in faith and receive the thing from God that He has for you. Amen?
Amen.
And find some word for it. I know there's some things, you know, not in the Word of God. Shall it be blue or green? It's not in the Word. Should he be tall or short? It's not in the Word. But there are some things that are in the Word that will be really good guidance for you. Amen?
Yes.
So find some Word, get the Word in your heart, and then pray in faith for something that you know is God's will for you. And if you still can't figure out if it's God's will for you, go find a godly person and talk to them. Maybe they can help you sort it out. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So the other part of that is the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So after you've prayed and you don't see the thing happen, they don't see the manifestation of it, what's the problem? The problem is that it's not a problem because we walk by faith and not by sight. You believe that you receive the thing that you have before you can see it. And when we walk by faith and not by sight, we can have that thing in our heart that is as real as can be before we see the manifestation of it actually happen. Many of us, maybe most of us, have had to contend for healing at one time or another. You know, something was wrong in our body. We know that the Word of God says that we can be healed, and we're pressing in for it. And it didn't happen right away. Or maybe some famous, you know, preacher or somebody with a healing anointing or gifts of the Spirit or whatever prayed for us. And the person next to you got instant healing and seems like you didn't get it. So what does the Word say? The Word says we walk by faith and not by sight. Because faith is the substance of the thing you hope for. It's the evidence of the thing you cannot see. So your faith takes the place of the manifestation of the thing until you actually see it, until it's actually revealed in the natural realm. That's how faith works. So if you want to understand the prayer of faith that saves the sick and the Lord shall raise them up, you have to understand that faith is the substance of things we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. And we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, out in the world, they say that's just like walking blind. You know, that's just crazy. Because it doesn't make sense. That's right. It's not sense. It's faith.
Yes.
Amen? Because faith isn't bound to our five physical senses. Faith is bound to what's in your heart. Faith has to do with something inside of you and someone inside of you that's inspiring and making things happen for you. And when you have that kind of faith, you can walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Is this helping you?
Yes.
So an example of this is Jesus and Thomas. Remember the story when Jesus got raised from the dead and he appeared to all these people? You know, he appeared to the disciples, he appeared to Mary. Mary Magdalene got up early in the morning and ran to the tomb, and she was the first preacher of the gospel because she got to see Jesus first. She beat Peter and John. They were all locked behind doors because they were afraid they were next. But she wasn't afraid. She was running to the grave. She was going to find out. And she came back with a story. Jesus is alive. Jesus is raised. Nobody believed her. So some people still don't believe women preachers, but it's okay. It's not your problem, women preachers. It's somebody else's problem. They don't want to believe what you're preaching.
Amen.
So Jesus appeared then to the disciples a couple of times. Thomas wasn't with them. And then when he comes in and Thomas is with him, Thomas says, let me touch. You know, it's like a woman shopping in the store. She wants to touch every piece of clothes. You know, you got to. Why are you touching? Everybody's touched that nasty thing, you know, and now you're touching it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. So Thomas says, let me feel, let me touch. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, just let me tell you something. It's more, the people are blessed who believe and don't see. Those are the blessed people. You don't have to see it to believe it. And somebody said, well, that's just crazy. Well, how many believe there's oxygen in this room? How many have actually seen the oxygen? We believe it's here, right? We're breathing it, right? But we can't see it. So we believe in stuff we can't see all the time. So why can't we apply that to the faith, our faith to the things that we cannot see? The healing that has not yet manifested, but that we know we have because Jesus provided it at the cross of Calvary. Amen? I know it's a hard transition. It's sometimes a long reach, and you know, you've got symptoms, you got circumstances, and you're believing and you're doing everything that they told you to do. But you know, it's not about doing everything that somebody told you to do. It's about something transformed in your heart that takes a hold of the Word of God and makes that Word life to you, and that Word becomes so real to you, so strong inside of you that it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter how I look. Do I look healed or don't I look healed? Doesn't matter. I don't care what you think. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes.
Amen.
And if it hair lips the devil, I'm still healed by Jesus' stripes. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I don't care what somebody else believes. I don't care that somebody believes that it... Well, I do care. It's wrong for people to not believe the Word of God, but some people don't believe it's the will of God to heal people. Some people believe that all those things passed away with the apostles. I can't help what other people believe, so I can't be concerned about it concerning me, and I can't let it affect my faith because somebody doesn't want to believe. I've seen people lose their healing because friends around them have gotten around them and said stuff that took them off the path of faith and put them on the path of unbelief. Sometimes there's things we can't explain. You know, I prayed with people that were believing for healing and doesn't seem like they got it. But that doesn't change the Word of God any. The Word of God is the truth that we stand on. Praise the Lord. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, for even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight, an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Look at that last verse. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So there are some eternal things that you can get a hold of in the Word of God. And it doesn't matter if anybody else sees them or doesn't see them. What matters is that you see them. You see them from the inside. You see them in your heart. You believe them with your heart. And you're not going to let go of them in your heart because it's come from God. This is a word from God to me. I'm taking this word. This is God's word to me. It's the truth. Nobody has to prophesy over me. Nobody has to have a word for me. Now, sometimes people come up and say, Pastor, do you have a word for me? Yes, I've got lots of words for you. It's called the Bible. I mean, I don't have anything against prophetic, you know, and sometimes it's helpful. But sometimes people are just, they're more dependent on a word from a person than they are from the word from God. And they already have the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So keep oriented toward the word of God, and then you can't go wrong. So we do not look at the things which are seen. Example in the Bible, the Roman centurion. Remember, he came to God in Matthew chapter 8 for his servant. And the centurion said to Jesus, you know, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy that you should do this and that. But speak only the word and my servant will be healed. Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. He's not looking for what he can see, right? He's just saying, Jesus, just speak. Just speak the word. I'm a man under authority, and I tell this one, go, he goes. Another one, come, and he comes. Just speak the word. I don't have to see anything. It illustrates perfectly. And what did Jesus call that? What?
Faith.
He called it faith. He said, I haven't seen such great faith in Israel anywhere. So the prayer of faith is not about seeing. It's about believing and receiving. Amen? If you want the prayer of faith to work for you, and you want to minister in the prayer of faith, using it to minister to people, you have to believe in your heart that what you say is coming to pass. And then leave it in the hands of God. You know, the point is, it's not the hand or the oil, because I place the oil, I place the hand, but God has to put the power. And when he puts the power, and you open heart to receive, you will have what's prayed for. It's the prayer of faith. We'll save the sick. Praise the Lord. So James 5:13, which is what we're talking about, is anyone suffering? Let him pray. Let him pray. So somebody wants somebody else to pray. You lazy thing, go pray yourself. Nothing wrong with getting prayers. I'm just, you know, sometimes they say stuff like that and say, Pastor said not to go get prayer from anybody. No, I didn't say that. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. All right. I guess we don't have many cheerful people here today. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. How are we doing? We're not doing well with time. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he committed sins, he will be forgiven. So prayer in general is petition, you know, like Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, knock kind of thing. Faith is substance, and evidence. You hook the two together, the prayer and the faith, and you get results. Because the Lord will raise them up. So what's the essence of the prayer of faith? It's found in Romans 4, verse 16 to 21. I'm going to go through this really pretty fast, so you might have to re-listen to it if you don't get it all. It says, therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believes. So faith in God is important. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, why do I call this the essence of the prayer of faith? Because number one, it's by or according to grace. You see that in verse 16. And the second thing is it's guaranteed that the promise might be sure to all the seed. It's guaranteed. And available to all believers, because it's talking about the father of Abraham and to those who believe. Number four, it's backed by the presence of God. In the presence of God in whom he believed, verse 17. It includes healing, even resurrection of the dead, because it says that God is one who gives life to the dead. Number six, it includes the creative power, miracles of healing and provision. Number seven, it exceeds human ability to hope. Number eight, it overcomes circumstances and contrary issues, because his body was as if already dead and Sarah was too old, etc., etc., etc. Number nine, it's unwavering. He didn't waver in unbelief. Number 10, it glorifies God. Number 11, it's being fully convinced in the heart. And number 12, it totally relies on God's performance, not on human efforts. Being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So, number one, it's by grace. Number two, it's guaranteed. Number three, it's available to all believers. Number four, it's backed by the presence of God. Number five, it includes healing, even resurrection of the dead. Number six, it includes creative power, miracles of healing and provision. Number seven, it exceeds human ability to hope. Number eight, it overrides the circumstances and contrary issues. Number nine is unwavering. Number 10, it glorifies God. Number 11, is fully convinced in the heart. Number 12, it totally relies on God's performance, not human efforts. That's the essence of the prayer of faith. That's why the prayer of faith saves the sick or heals the sick, and it's why God raises the person up. So if you get a hold of those concepts, when you're prayed for, what should your response be? Your response should be, I believe I receive. Yes. Amen? It doesn't matter if I see, doesn't matter if I feel, doesn't matter if I taste, doesn't matter if I can touch. I believe that I have received what was prayed for. I have faith in my heart. I believe in my heart. Because God said, God is a God of faith. He's a faith God. And Jesus said we should have the God kind of faith. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Amen? Okay, so closing with what's the fruit of the prayer of faith? In Romans 4, back to Romans 4, verse 20, it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Now look at verse 22. It says, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's the fruit of the prayer of faith. Right standing with God is ingrained in the prayer of faith. That's why it says the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. It has to do with Jesus making you, God making you the righteousness of God, righteousness in Christ. That happens. It's a transaction that happens. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and he will not only be healed, but he'll be forgiven if he sinned. It doesn't say that everybody that's sick is because of their sin. Jesus even said that about some people. They said, did this guy sin or did his parents sin? Is that why he's blind? No, it's not about that. He said it's so this guy can see the glory of God. So sometimes we try to fix the blame, but we should just be fixing the problem. The problem is my heart. The problem is me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then it says in verse 23, it's not written for his sake alone, yet it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe that God raised him up, to us who believe in him who raised him up, Jesus our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up for our justification. Our sin was taken care of. Jesus was put on the cross. But he was raised from the dead so that we could be justified. In other words, just as if you had never sinned. You've made right with God. You've made righteous. Remember, when we go back to Abraham, the Bible says it was accounted to him for righteousness that he believed God. So your faith is taking a hold of the provision that God gave you when you got born again. And it's making it real on the inside of you. It's transforming you. The Bible says we should be transformed from glory to glory. That's why we say about disciple making is that a disciple is somebody who follows Jesus and a person who's being changed by Jesus. We should be constantly transformed, changed by Jesus. And then thirdly, to be on mission with Jesus. In other words, doing what he said to do to take this to the rest of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then finally, we're talking about the fruit of the prayer of faith. In James 5, back to James 5, verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Sometimes we got stuff between us and that's the reason that we can't get healed. He's saying, take care of that stuff and you get healed. And then he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the fruit of the prayer of faith. Effective, fervent, effective or effectual fervent prayer avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. What is that saying? It's saying this will work for you. Mm-hmm. Work for Elijah, it'll work for you. Amen. Work for Peter, James, and John, it'll work for you. Work for the early church, it'll work for you. So you have to see yourself in the picture, right? Mm-hmm. The prayer of faith was not just something that was thrown out there just take up space in the Bible. It was there for you. You can pray the prayer of faith. So the first century church was a praying church. When they prayed, even the place that they were praying got shaken. Sometimes you can feel the shaking of God going on in a place where there's prayer. They saw signs and wonders and miracles. And the prayer of faith was healing the sick. and God was raising them up. But now it's your turn. It's your turn to receive. It's your turn to give. So let's stand our feet. Thank you, Father, for this congregation. Thank you for raising up men and women, raising up young people of faith, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit, Lord, ready to tackle the problems and troubles and situations, Father God, that are in the world around them that they face and that others face, Lord. Raise them up, Father, now in that power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Endue them with power from on high, Lord, to make a difference in the lives of people. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did at the cross to set us free. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price so that sin didn't separate us any longer from God, but that we've been reconciled to him and that now we have a ministry of reconciliation. I ask you, Lord, that you would put that deeply in our hearts, Lord, that we would turn to you and reach out to those around us, Lord, who have needs, who are suffering, who are sick, who are hurt, who are broken, Lord, because the gospel is your power to salvation to everybody who believes. And for it, we're thankful and grateful in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.